irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
Yeah, are baby. You ever?
It's going to be a good one today.
It will. We've been having so much fun off air already.
Right? Decided to turn the microphones on. It's a good
exactly.
thing. Here we go. We'll talk a little bit now. Let everybody in on this.
Well, you know, we're trying to figure out where our station is in life. You
That's
know
right.
what we are.
I see what
we're
you did there.
Station,
radio station, station.
Yeah.
Well done, Michael. Yeah, you're punny. You. Funny today. Well, and it's interesting too because I don't know that I want to be put in a generation. I don't want to be grouped in with my people.
Well, whether we are or we not.
Oh, he can't hear you. Yeah.
Okay. Here, let me give you a little adjust on the volume. Are you better there? Better there?
Oh, that's better.
Cool.
Okay.
All right.
There we go.
All right, here we go.
He's back.
Volume's all the way. We're feeling good. Yeah, I don't know if I want to be a Gen Xer or a millennial. I kind of want to just be what
well,
I am.
Let's figure it out. What are we, actually? Let's individually, really, what are we?
I just turned 40 a month ago.
Okay.
Which means I'm very, very old, I think, is my generation. I think
that's what it's called.
Very,
it's called
very
generation
old. That's right. Generation well. Cranking. Oh, my legs. Oh, my back.
I think we're still young. I think we're firing it up. We're still good.
Do we know? Do we decide what the cutoff for millennial is?
I think it's 84. I don't really remember, but you were saying under 30, right?
I think
we're called Zennials.
And wow.
Zennials. Somewhere between millennials and
I think
Gen
millennials
Z
is
or
just,
Gen X.
It's just whoever they want to blame for the economy.
That's true.
But here's the cool thing about it all is that when you kind of start, you know, breaking those molds, I mean, I've got a friend right now and I swear she's 87 years old. She's 20, but she's like 87 years old. And every time I see her in an audition or whatever, she's just got this peace and this calm. Like she lived through the depression and nothing can hurt her now. So I think you kind of are who you are, right? You can be whatever you are in the body
yeah.
you're in. So
I used to have a very old attitude. Like I was a lot like my dad. I was just very 70s laid back.
Yeah.
Like all the time. We'd go out for drinks and he's like an old uncle. I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah.
my back.
Me and my boy, Alex, in college, we would talk about how we couldn't wait to be old just so we could sit on porch and there'd be a good reason for why we just curse at people.
Right. Like the problem is nobody can afford a porch anymore.
No.
Housing
no
prices have gone up too much.
Yeah. You know, that porch rents for a whole other bedroom.
Look, we'll just go from house to house. We don't care whose porch it is.
Could be a stoop. We can go find a
yeah,
stoop.
We don't
I still
care.
See
we'll
stoops.
Just sit there and yell.
Aw, stoops.
I love it. Yeah, where I grew up, it's funny. There are a lot of back porches, you know, and that's where a lot of the conversation takes place. Nobody has that in California.
No.
If they've used every ounce of it, they've screened it in, they're renting it out to college students, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I think there's a business in New York where they rent out walls so you can split up living rooms into bedrooms and they
wow.
rent the walls to people.
It's like a Shakespeare play.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
you go be the wall.
Yeah, yes.
And they're a chink between these two walls where the lovers did speak.
What do you mean? They actually, so they have to reposition the walls because they're
yeah,
renting
they're
it
these,
out
these,
to someone else?
Right, yeah. They're just rental walls that you put up in a bigger
oh,
space.
Oh,
but they cut up the smallest apartments into multiple rooms so that people can
multiple
share,
tiny
have,
rooms.
Yeah,
welcome to living
share.
In New York, right?
Right.
No. Aren't they all there? And the apartments in New York are tiny to begin with.
That's
so
right.
It would make it uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But, you know, that whole fake craze of mm-hmm. tiny house living.
Right.
That's
a big thing.
More bizarre.
Oh,
see
yeah.
See it on HGTV all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, I thought that was attractive until I realized, oh, they're trailers. That's. Yeah.
I thought it was attractive until I had two children and realized that large place can seem very small very quickly.
That's funny.
How do we get involved in all this conversation here? We're not even talking about the arts.
We should do some arts today. That's a good
art.
We
haven't even introduced
our
guests.
Let's do this. Michael, here it is on June 28th, and we do have a couple of guests who you've heard today already
will
be telling
venting.
Us all about the show that Stage Scene LA calls a twist turny tale and outrageously funny.
You are so right, Andrew, and we will be speaking with the co-artistic directors of Ammunition Theater Company, who
wow.
will be telling us all about their revival production of The Tragedy, a comedy, on stage at the Pico. Now, I say the Pico because that's what it's now called. It
wow.
used to be called the Pico Theater.
Right.
I don't know
mm-hmm.
why they dropped that third word, but they did.
It's Pico Playhouse now.
Pico Playhouse.
No, it was Pico Playhouse.
No,
now it's just
not?
The Pico.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I know. I'm telling you, theater changes in LA so quick.
Jeez.
Well, there's a new wonderful
change
creative
all the
director head. There. Her name is Micah Gonda, and she's been so wonderfully generous, so yeah. I guess they
now,
wanted
to rebrand it. What is her name again?
Micah Gonda.
I haven't met her yet, but I'm excited to because
so
I love that space. Cool space. Yeah. Good. Good, good.
And that is going to be on stage. It's a very special production, and it's going to be on stage on August 9th. And preceded by a July date in...
July 19th.
July 19th.
That's right, 8 p.m.
Yes. Wow. And will you please give a warm welcome to Tina Huang and Malcolm Barrett.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ooh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, stop, stop. You don't have to. Okay. All right.
Oh, that's crazy.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, guys.
They literally both just got mugged by their fans here, tearing off their shirts and grabbing their hair, anything for a souvenir of these two. Your audience follows you everywhere, I can tell, guys.
I know. It's hard.
Yeah. You know what it is? I think it's because we've always played nerds, and people just really related to, you know, how relatable we are because of our brains. Is that what it is, guys?
It has nothing to do with
true.
You both being extremely good-looking.
I was going to say, yeah, really good-looking nerds.
Problems I've never had. Man.
Aww.
Now, Tina, you got to tell me, as because right now all our online audience, they're going to go find you and Google you guys and all this sort of thing. Your last name is spelled H-U-A-N-G, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so it's Tina Huang, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Great. And Malcolm Barrett, that's Barrett with two R's and two T's. So if you want to see these two fine-looking individuals, go on Instagram. I'm sure you can find them there. Where are you guys? Where can we find you on Instagram, Twitter, and all that jazz?
Tina Huang 381 is the Instagram, and Tina Huang at Tina Huang is Twitter.
Okay. Twitter is at Malcolm Barrett, and Instagram is Verbal B Rappin. No G.
Wait, Verbal B. I saw your nickname's Verbal.
Yeah.
Is that because you talk so good?
It is.
He's
I
a good talker.
So good. That's my rap name, also.
Really?
Yeah.
You'll
get
a freestyle for y'all.
Well, I saw. I'm going to ask you about that because I saw you were in Poetry Slam early on. Yeah.
I was on a 2001 New Eureka Poetry team.
I loved that. That was so cool, and it was fun because it was so much more organic than the rap I was hearing on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Like it felt like it wasn't commercialized at all,
mm-hmm.
because like when rap started, it had such a strange kind of bent. It hit strange markets, and the real stuff was kind of kept underground until people were ready for it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so Poetry Slam was a place where you could see raw, real mm-hmm. talent giving some really amazing performances.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
I think that's where rap is coming to now. Like there's all these new rappers that are coming out there.
Yeah.
It's poetry.
You got Kendrick Lamar winning Pulitzer Prize.
Yeah. Wow, that's right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's really cool. Well, I definitely want to hear some of that. We're going to hit you up for that because she already threw you under the bus and said you'll freestyle
Perfect.
For
Thank
us.
You.
So be ready.
Good friend.
best of friends.
So, Tina, do you rap?
I don't, but I will say, yeah, check them out. Watch, what?
She's
what,
the best.
Yeah.
I just
woman.
Captured that. That's going to be our intro for the next 20 years. Congratulations, Tina. That's great. Now, we're going to dig in, obviously, here and talk more with you guys in just a minute, but I want to thank both of you to be here. We're going to be talking about a show called The Tragedy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Which is a comedy.
Yes, that's right. So people who are tuning in are going, I don't need any more tragedy in my life. Oh. This is the show you want to listen to, right?
This is the show you got to see because I can't explain to you the amount of joy it brings to people. Just people are just lit up, and they've been in the theater with people live from their community, spending an hour with them. It's just so fun. It's exactly what we need and why we have the arts, because it reminds us of our humanity. Got serious real quick, guys.
Wow. Hold on, brought it down.
I'll just make fart jokes for the rest. Don't worry about it.
That's never happened before. There's super esoteric and then there's fart jokes. I like it. Very nice.
We don't discriminate. We go in between. Yeah,
that's right.
That's
we're going to get back to you guys in just a second. Can I trust you not to run out the door while we pay some bills?
I'll do my
best.
Yes, please.
Good, good. Let's go ahead and take a moment, Michael, if you're available, and we will thank our sponsors.
I think that's what we should do, Andrew. We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, our sponsor, Princess Cruises, for coming on board as presenting sponsor for State of the Arts during 2018. A pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences. Only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
So experience the next wave in vacation travel at the end of each month from September to August. One lucky winner will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships. Now you can do that by going to our page here on the LA Talk Radio Network, the State of the Arts page, which is in archives all of our shows, and you will see the Princess logo. Click on that logo, and send in the very brief information that they're asking for, and it is your chance to win a beautiful vacation for two, and you can do that as many times as you like. So,
that's right.
Unfortunately, you and I can't do it, however.
But people can take us as guests, right? So if they win, they can call us up.
That. That's right.
If we do this right, Michael.
Have a hot date.
That's right. That's right. We'd also like to acknowledge, of course, PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
Such a great resource for the arts, to be sure. And speaking of great things, Andrew, anything great happen in your theatrical week?
Yes, and you were there for it.
What?
What did we get to go see this week?
What did we get to go see? We didn't.
Did we not see anything this week?
No.
What was the last show we saw? See, for me, that's my theatrical week.
When you don't see a show.
No. I got to go, and I visited. What was the show we went to go see last week? At the very end of it.
Cult of Love?
That's not what it was.
I was hoping you guys were there.
I love that she tried to pitch her own show. That was
where is Cult of Love at?
It was at the Atwater.
And how did I not see a press release on this?
I don't know. It's I Am cool. A Theater Company. I'm
and is
not
it
sure
done
it's our
now?
Sister company. It just closed. Just but wrapped. There might be a revival.
Oh, I would love to hear about that. I actually saw three shows last week. I saw the new version of Romeo and Juliet, which is so, so cool.
Oh, cool.
It's done in the park, and it's really awesome. I also went to go visit Shakespeare by the Sea. I was literally driving by on my way to a fight rehearsal, so I jumped out. I don't know if you guys know Shakespeare by the Sea.
Yes,
they do great, great stuff, and I jumped out, and I saw my buddy Patrick Vest in one of his fight scenes, and lots of good stuff going on there. So it was fun. This was a busy week for me, though, because I was in Santa Barbara, where I stopped off and went to the Santa Barbara Zoo, and I had rehearsals up there, and then I ran back down here just in time to see my little boy hit three home runs in his little league game, which was really cool.
Hey.
Yeah, he never hit a home run, hit three in one game.
He needs applause for that.
Yeah, well, hold on. I got it. You know, he'll love this.
It's a great crowd.
But I got to tell you, he's been giving himself enough applause. He's been, you know, yesterday I hit three home runs. And, you know, as a guy who can hit three home runs in a ball game. So,
yes.
Yeah, I think his head may be getting too big for his batting helmet right now. Michael, how about you? What did you see this week?
Nothing really.
Really?
I'm getting ready to see some shows over the weekend. And one of them is Sweet Charity, which is the premier offering from a very distinguished theater company called Reprise, who operated some years ago in presenting staged musicals.
Yeah.
And in a very economic way, but they were really done very well. And now they have come back. So Sweet Charity stars Laura Bell Bundy, the Broadway star, and from television and Broadway, Barrett Foa, who was our guest 2 weeks ago here
right.
at the studio.
And
he plays Oscar and she plays Charity.
Such a talent.
And, you know, there's a big orchestra, and it's just not a fully produced production like you would see the whole show. So it's done in a very interesting way, though. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that, too.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, too, because there's so many great shows going on right now. Sweet Charity's one that I've never seen before, and we talked about
Neil Simon wrote the book.
It's got so many people who started their careers doing that kind of work, right? They started with Sweet Charity, or they started with one of his other plays.
Yes.
And it's interesting because it's fallen through the cracks for me, but Barrett Foa in that role has got to be amazing.
I imagine so.
Yeah.
You know, someone told me in a discussion last night, just speaking of theater in general, that West Side Story is going to be remade as a motion picture by Steven Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
And it has caused an uproar in the Broadway community.
Because
he's slightly changing the whole attitude of the movie. And I guess it's not, you know, to do that.
That's what you want to do. You want to rewrite that, you know? It didn't work so well the first time.
Exactly.
Not very successful.
doesn't really hold water. And I know Rita Moreno has been speaking up about it.
Really?
And a lot of George Shakiris, who played Bernardo in the movie.
Yeah.
And they're not happy about it. And I wouldn't either, you know?
Yeah.
That's what their connection is to it. And people, we saw, I think you were with me, were you? When you saw West Side Story at Northridge?
Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
At the Valley Performing Arts Center, beautiful production by the Tom McCoy and his wife, Kathy Rigby. They have a production company.
Yeah.
And they put on sensational theater, which starts at Northridge Valley Performing Arts Center, the most beautiful 1,700-seat theater.
Of course.
Wow.
One of our newest theaters with the best sound in town. And then it moves down to La Mirada, which is Tom and Kathy's hometown. So, anyhow.
I think it's weird when you remake a great movie.
Right.
I think it's weird. I think go ahead and remake a crappy movie. Like that's what you do. Like there's a new movie.
Let's get another run at that. Let's
yeah,
try
like
that again.
Superfly
yeah.
is out. Yes. Based off of the old Superfly.
Funny.
And I'm like, yeah, remake Superfly.
Right.
Who
that's
cares?
That's right. Because you know you're going to do it better.
Yeah. You can't.
Well,
do
yeah.
It. Like
funny.
Yeah, that's what
it's
you
be
remake.
Good music in there too. I think.
Yeah, there's great music. I'm like, that's what
that's
you
true.
Do. Like
when it has an element that you can build on. You're right. You can do a nice remake.
Yeah. Like it's weird when you remake a classic. Like what did they did shot for shot for Psycho.
Yeah, or Magnificent Seven, which I heard was very, very good. I had a bunch of buddies on the fight crew, but how do you beat Steve McQueen and Yul Brynner?
It's hard. Yeah,
Magnificent Seven was great. I was actually searching for it last night. I was trying to catch it on Netflix.
The new one?
I can't believe
the new one?
No, the old one.
Yeah, the
oh,
old
okay.
one.
The old
so
one's
good.
Brilliant.
Have you heard the story of Yul Brynner next to Steve McQueen?
No.
I may have told this once, but I'll tell it one more time. I had a buddy who was on the set tell me this. He said there was a day where, you know, young Steve McQueen, I think he's out there, he's trying to steal every scene, he's playing with his hat, during a kind of calm scene when Yul Brynner is sitting there and supposed to be the focus, sure. and McQueen's in the background taking every steal. Just he's like, hey, I got a moment here. I'll take a little focus over here, a little focus over here. And Yul Brynner sees the dailies and gets sick of it. She's pointing at Malcolm over here. And
Steve
she says,
Taylor.
So on the dailies, Yul Brynner walks away very quietly. The director knows that he's not happy with what McQueen was doing. And the next day they go to do the scene again and they set up. And Yul Brynner quietly leans over to Steve McQueen and goes, all I have to do is take off my hat and nobody looks at you for the rest of the film.
Oh.
And McQueen was so good for the rest of the shoot. Isn't that a great line?
Hilarious.
That's
I thought
fantastic.
It was so funny. Yeah.
That sounds like a Malcolm line. You could probably steal
I
that.
I could pull that off.
You got the nice head, too, man. You can pull that off.
Pull
that's
off.
Right. Yeah, Yul Brynner with that head. I mean, he's right, too. If that bald head is on scene, nobody's looking at Steve.
No one's looking at
doesn't
him.
Doesn't matter how good looking no he is. Everybody's looking at Yul. So I thought that was awesome. I thought that was really cool.
McQueen was a bad boy, though. I mean,
everybody
he was known
yeah.
to be that
yeah.
way.
Yeah. Well, I did a commercial with
a cool bad boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I didn't know the Bullitt car. Nobody
you were
knows.
In a commercial with him?
With his kid.
Oh, with his kid.
I didn't know he had a son that acted.
He has a son that acts, and he looks, you know what's funny? We did, because he did The Great Escape, right?
Yeah.
Cooler King. That's
one, of, one of the first commercials I did here that got me to not be poor it was a car commercial, but sort of based off The Great Escape, and they got his kid to be the security guard at the place.
Really?
That yeah, yeah. It was like a bunch
the
of people.
The car
escaped.
Commercial did The Great Escape rather than
the motorcycle.
Or,
well, oh,
yeah.
That's right. Yeah,
why
Bullitt would have
rather a car movie
because it was about getting out of oh. your
breaking out of
job.
Your,
oh,
breaking out of your office.
But you're
job
right. Steve McQueen has that great motorcycle chase in that movie
yeah.
as well.
Oh yes, so. Yes, yes. That's a
was
good
his
one.
Son the child of his Neely Adams?
I don't know. I just knew he looked exactly like him. He was like, because I think there's not like, I feel like there's weird things about who he's given birth to.
there may be
well,
some questionable maternity.
Let's be clear. He hasn't given birth to anyone. you know, someone else
if
did that work.
If anybody could do it, Steve McQueen could
yeah,
do it, okay?
That's probably why there's all those questions.
Well, I it says here Chad McQueen is a working actor who's, who's and film producer. I go to, hey, look, I've got nonstop technology here. I went to a new source called Wikipedia.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
okay.
I think it's making
Minority Report,
which means
here.
It could be completely wrong. So be careful.
You know, I give money to them because they, you know, every once in a while, but I use it a lot.
Oh yeah.
I once corrected my Wikipedia page to say he spits hot fire, and then there was
that's
a link
amazing.
To like the fire was a hyperlink, and then it went to another Wikipedia page on fire.
That probably got you a lot of hits and very strange.
Somebody's
house is on
fire.
That's
called going
down
the Wikipedia hole.
Right? This was like years ago.
Break your brain like that.
Spits fire.
It's funny. I was talking
and then dragon is another hyperlink.
I was talking to a woman at a party a while back, and I've never been accused of being extremely bright. It's never been something people have attributed to me. And I was talking to this woman, and I asked her name, and she said, Fiona. And I said, oh, like Fiona Apple. And she goes, yeah, exactly like that. And I found out later it was Fiona Apple. And I went, man.
Wow.
I went to Wikipedia and looked her up. And I was like, yep, that's Fiona Apple. Oh, well.
That's amazing. Yep. Kind of like
brutal.
That.
Yeah, so every time I see somebody who was at that party, that story's brought back up again. And she must have thought that I was just the most laid-back dude ever. Because, you know, I didn't comment on her work or anything.
No.
That was so funny.
Amazing.
Yep. So we've talked a lot about this. Should we give you guys your proper introductions here? Let's bring these people in because they've got a lot of credits that we should talk about here. Our first guest is a first-generation Taiwanese-American actress, producer, and director. Raised in Chinatown in the Lower East Side of New York City, she attended LaGuardia High School we brought out LaGuardia to California.
The Fame High School.
That's right. LaGuardia High School and of the Performing Arts, and went on to graduate from NYU's elite Tisch School of the Arts.
Some TV credits include a series regular role on Hollywood Heights, recurring roles on Rizzoli and Isles, The Night Shift, and Law and Order, Los Angeles. Other credits include Scandal, Shameless, CSI, The Kroll Show, and The Office. She starred in an award-winning production of Immortal Heart that went on a West Coast tour as well as a French tour.
She co-wrote and co-produced Oregon Trail Live, a 4D 8-bit adventure. She was a member of the production of Fairy Tale Theater 18 and Over, which garnered rave reviews from the LA Times and LA Weekly before playing to sold-out audiences at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
She's currently filming Arrow in Vancouver, but she is here with us today to talk about her current role as co-artistic director of Ammunition Theater Company. She'll be telling us all about their revival production of The Tragedy, a comedy, following a near sold-out run in 2017 in which she also plays the role of Lisa. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Tina Huang.
Yeah.
Right on fire.
Don't say fire. We'll immediately go to his Wikipedia page. So now I got to ask you, you are a New York girl. I wanted to make you a Laguna girl. But you grew up in New York and now you live out here, correct?
That's correct.
Where's home?
Home?
Where's home? Do you consider New York home
That's
or
funny.
LA home?
You know what? I say quinoa and kale on a daily basis now. So I,
you got to be
know,
in LA.
I lost a little New York cred for that reason. But no, the Lower East Side of New York is definitely home.
Yeah.
But home is not always where you want to go back to every day.
Yeah,
every
that's day. True. That's true.
Look, I love it. I love the people there. I miss my family. I miss my good friends that are back home. But
how large is your family?
It's actually not that big. I have two older brothers, a couple nephews and nieces. I say that so vaguely, but I do. I have four, maybe six nieces and nephews.
As in, there was a pregnancy when you came to the show today. You haven't gotten the last minute update, or
there might four, be some children six, out there now from another marriage from my brother. Anyway, okay. I'm putting his business out there. He's not the type to listen to State of the Arts.
He will be after the show. I can guarantee. No. None of them are Steve McQueen's children, though. Are we clear on that?
No, we're clear on that. We're clear on that. I'd be a vampire otherwise.
And
but
how often do you get back to New York?
I get back every once. I'm going back next month. I'm really excited about that. Yeah, I have a film that he co-produced through my production company, One to One. And I wrote it, and we produced it. My business partner, Carla Mosley, also was in it. And we got into a festival called the Black Star Film Festival, which is happening in Philly in August. So we're super excited to go to New York, hang out for a bit, and then get to the festival.
Very
so
cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Go back two or three cool. times a year. Yeah.
So Malcolm, your production company was involved?
Her production company. She has, which I support all the time, One to One Productions, which is a ratio. You explain it better than
what? Oh, One to One is the ratio of men to women in the world, and so we believe representation in media should be the same.
Mm-hmm.
So we champion women of color in front of and behind the camera, and we usually on all of our productions we hire at least 70% female.
Wow.
Women of color.
Good
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you very much.
Supporting
good.
Him. Because I'm woke.
Because he's an ally, as I like to call him, in this great war.
I had a boy and girl just to not throw off the ratio.
Yeah.
I was real sure. I was like, well, we can have two, but they got to be a boy and a girl, man. I got to get this ratio
See?
Right. That's a really great thing. Is
yeah.
is this something people can, is it known? Is it something people can go find out more about?
Somewhere? Yeah, you can go to our one-to-oneproductions.com, and we're going around the festival circuits now. We have a movie called Sheen. And we have a series now that we're working on called Wedlocked that we're trying to get out there as well. And
that we co-directed.
That we co-directed,
cool.
Yes, exactly. We did six episodes of that. And I'm currently writing more shorts and writing I'm going to write a Western next, guys.
I love
Western.
We need a new good Western.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
I mean, Tombstone for me was the last really great Western.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Well, you got to tell me now, because the show we're talking about today is The Tragedy, a comedy.
Yes.
And it's obviously, this is a fun show. You've been telling me a little bit about it. Tell me what the story is and tell me how it came around.
Well, it's written by a wonderful playwright friend of ours who also went to NYU named Daryl Watson. He goes by D.G. Watts. Watts or Watson? D.G. Watson?
I don't know.
D.G. Watson. He's a wonderful writer. He's
thought it was a seizure
brilliant.
For a moment.
He's a real brilliant mind, and it's about a small talent agency in Hollywood, but it's not too inside baseball. For sure, they don't know what to do because their business is failing.
An agent failing in Hollywood. Unheard of.
That's right.
Unheard of.
And the lead agent is Larry Stone, which Malcolm plays. And
cool.
I play Lisa, the partner, and Derek is played by our wonderful Brandon Scott, who is filming a TV show in Canada right now.
Wow.
But, yeah, so they decide that the only way that they could save the company is to come up with new ideas, new innovations, so they decide to eat mushrooms.
Oh.
And they go on this wild, wild mushroom trip.
Yeah.
Look, when you're desperate times, they call for desperate measures.
Yeah.
And they go on this crazy existential trip, and they meet Greek goddesses and of tragedy and comedy, and you just have to go on the ride with us. It's a great adventure story.
Well, it's a great way to sneak in how much our writer knows about like Greek history and stories
and
soliloquies.
Yes.
And he doesn't, and none of it's pretentious, and it's all fun.
Yeah.
And he has most of the pretension, but
I do. It's great. I call my character, he's a mix of Snagglepuss. And actually, I think he's just Snagglepuss. It's a lot of.
He's a mix of Snagglepuss and more Snagglepuss.
It was like very much an inspiration for me to essentially. I'm not even joking with you. I am like light on my feet throughout the entire play.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah,
you gotta watch out for those limbs. They come flying. Sometimes.
Yeah, it's a very But that was my inspiration behind playing that character.
So that's the story.
Who in this studio today has taken mushrooms or tried mushrooms? Has anybody?
Yes.
Are we gonna get in trouble?
I've done it.
Statute of limitations. You're good.
Oh yeah.
I could be an undercover cop. You don't know.
Like,
you don't know.
I've done mushrooms. Yes.
This is actually an intervention, guys. That's why we have you here today. We don't have a show.
Oh, good. My mom's here.
We look behind us. It actually could happen.
Tina's whole family.
Yeah.
All those nieces and nephews that she couldn't remember how many there were.
So, Michael, you asked the question, man. What's your answer?
I did try it, and it was not a good experience.
Oh, no.
Were they undercooked?
Oh, no.
Or?
Undercooked. Here's what happened. We went to a group of us, Magic Mountain.
And you did magic mushrooms.
This is great. Nice.
And did mushrooms.
Nice.
And it was really horrific for me.
Oh, gosh.
I have never, ever been able to go on, you know, roller coaster since then or
my.
Any of those kinds of things.
That was a bad idea.
I know.
Here we are on State of the Arts keeping kids off drugs.
This is what I'm talking about.
It will ruin Magic Mountain
young
for you.
I didn't know any better.
Well, I would imagine Magic Mountain. There's a lot happening there.
There's yeah,
a lot
is.
Really crowded. Yeah. I can't imagine being on mushrooms and feeling like
you're supposed to do the exact opposite of that. You're supposed to go like
simple.
Quiet place with like three or four friends with experience,
right?
As opposed to like the small world. It's a small world ride.
The roller coaster.
Well, that's another place which we respect.
All kinds of revelations here today on State of the Arts.
But my friends who did the same thing were not affected. I mean, they had a great time, and it just kind of accelerated, the fun that they were having. And I was like, get me out of here.
Yeah, definitely is a headspace type situation.
Yeah, I definitely.
But that's what's great about tragedy. It's not just like, oh,
nicely
these people are.
Nicely done.
She's really
segue.
Good.
This,
she's really
okay,
good.
She's my new publicity agent right now. How are mushrooms on Magic Mountain like tragedy a comedy?
Well, because tragedy doesn't only explore the fun trippiness of being on mushrooms, but it also talks about the dangers of being trapped inside your own mind.
You should teach this. You should teach this.
Did I kill it?
This is cool because I got to tell you, this show, and as I was reading up on it a little bit last night, it is very, very funny. What do you expect audiences to feel when they come out of it? Is it just sheer laughter?
I really feel that people don't get to exercise their imaginations enough.
Okay.
And that's what I love about radio as well. So I'm giving you guys another compliment.
Uh-oh.
But like it does. It engages your imagination in a way that is very childlike and innocent. And I think we need a lot of that. I never really understood what pure entertainment meant. But this doesn't involve like guns or violence or anything like that. And it's just joy, just complete joy, and the smiles on people's faces. It's amazing.
There's definitely a gun in the play.
There is a gun. I just remembered.
With a name like Ammunition
right
Theater Company, you better have a gun in the play.
Well, the story behind Ammunition is the idea that our art is our weapon, so we use it to fight back. So we want to reclaim that.
Very
reclaim
nice.
That word.
Well, and that's more important now than ever. If for no other reason than you see children who are in the arts find ways to handle conflict better than other people. Right? So it's like if your kids have never been in that experience where you have to perform with the people you're working with day to day, they don't understand that, hey, you got to make things work in a positive way.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great mission. I hope that's in a lot of your materials because that's a fantastic way to put it.
Yeah, and I think just showing up and being live in a room with people, I think people tend to shy away and isolate themselves on these we have our little Instagram live things going. Right. So we usually are obsessed with these things. And being in a room live with people and sharing space with community is incredibly vital to maintain the health of that community, yeah. I believe, to remember we're human. So it's all really exciting because we also have a philanthropic wing at AMMO, which is we partner with a nonprofit locally every year. And the first year we did with My Friend's Place, and they serve the homeless youth of Los Angeles. And the next year after that was Pops Pain at the Prison System. We worked with kids that are affected by incarceration.
Great.
So in this year, we're working with Wise and Healthy Aging, which is a senior community.
Hmm.
So we partner every year, and then we create a show for them where we have a fundraiser for them. So to us, community is very important, and this idea of bringing joy back into our everyday lives is important. Not that we don't do heavy shows as well. We do shows that also have a very big social awareness as well about the issues that our, you know, our company, our country is dealing with.
Are these productions always at the Pico, or are they at various theaters?
We change it up.
We definitely change it up. We I mean, do you want? I'm sorry, I've been talking a lot.
He's going to get his introduction. Yeah. In a minute.
Oh, great!
You take your time. You do what you need to do.
We've been changing it up, but this year we've been lucky enough. Micah Gonda, who is creative director at the Pico, she saw Tragedy in the fall at the Zephyr.
Oh, very cool.
And she said, "I love your work. Please come to the Pico. We'll host you for a year.
Wow.
Do whatever you want there." So it's been really just the best gift for us as a theater company to have a home to be there. And we're probably going to continue into next year as well. So it's really exciting. Very exciting.
Very awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
We're actually doing his play next year that he wrote, because we also we do writers' workshops every other month, and we foster the talents within our company as well to explore other things besides acting, directing, just get more skills. And he wrote this wonderful play that we did a reading of called Brain Problems earlier this year, and we're putting it into the season next year. It's going to be really
great. Other parts for
I was going to say, I've been living brain problems my whole life.
Do you have chocolates for me?
Based off of my life, I'm sure.
Yes,
the name
I do.
Of the show is The Tragedy, a comedy. It's from Ammunition Theater Company. Mm-hmm. It's an extended, acclaimed revival here. This is a really fun piece, and this is something that people are going to go leave feeling great from.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. Were we Ovation recommended for that?
We were, I thought. Maybe not. I'm not sure.
Both of these got
so Ovation. Possibly Ovation recommended.
Possibly Ovation recommended.
I don't see that here on the press release, but I'll have to look.
Put that on the press release. Yep.
The theater is the Pico. We've seen shows at the Pico, and it's a great space. Lots of good stuff. And it's the dates that this runs now extended through August 9th. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just two single dates now.
Yeah, so we do July, it once a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because we had a run. It went very well. Mika really dug it and was like, "Hey, do you want to do it like biweekly or however long?" And we were like, "No, but once a month would be great."
Yeah, right.
But it built a great relationship, and at least our next play will be there, which is Fairy Tale Theater by Michael Feldman.
Oh, yes. We have a big musical in the fall, which is
and
exciting.
And when's the next chance for people to see The Tragedy?
July 19th.
July 19th. Mm-hmm. And the way they do that is they go to www.ammotheater, that's theater with an R.E.com, and you'll find tickets there, yeah?
Yep, cool. That's exactly it.
And general admission tickets are only $25, so they can't beat that. And it's a lovely theater, actually one of my favorite theaters to go to.
Great space.
In that area. So we say often here, you guys, about to our listeners to put down the remote and to get up off that couch and go out and take their children as well, if it's appropriate for whatever they're going to see, but to support the live arts in that kind of way, because otherwise we're not going to be able to have any live arts.
Yes, we are a small company, and we're only a few years old, so all the support we can get, the more people we can meet, the more people we can smile and have feelings.
Well, I love what you're doing in partnering up with these organizations that you were talking about a minute ago. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Helping other people.
Well, that's a big part. For us, we really want to be a part of community. Mm-hmm. We really want to be in there and not just talking about the community and talking about all these different places, but actually being involved, you know. And so that was a huge tenet of starting the company, was not just the art that we're putting out there, but actually going through the places, talking to the children, and devoting our time and our hearts there as well. That sounded like I really cared.
I'm going to start thinking you're smart if you keep talking like that. For me.
I was very engaged.
Right. And truthful.
And
a little truth, which kind of scares me a little bit. And I tell you,
it kind of came off the ceiling and, you know, came down here.
Actors with depth, you know? Well, it is cool because obviously this is a fun show, and I think anybody who's listening is going to hear your personalities and hear the fun, but it is cool to hear that there's also that awareness for the theater company that we need to do a lot of different kinds of shows. So, shall we skip a live Live Arts Calendar?
I think so, because the gentleman that you just heard make that lovely statement is our next guest, and he is an actor, producer, and writer, perhaps best known for his current starring role as Rufus Carlin in the NBC drama Timeless.
Yes.
Other roles include Lem in Better Off Ted, Helmut in Dear White People, and F.J. Hoover in Preacher.
A New York native who trained at the prestigious Tisch School of the Arts in NYU, he is also known for his roles in The Office, The Mentalist, Southland, Monk, Ghost Whisperer, The Sopranos, Key and Peele, and Law and Order, just to name a few.
Some of his film credits include roles in Hurt Locker, War on Everyone, O.J., the musical, American Violet, Larry Crown, and the Sundance VR thriller, Dinner Party. He contributed music to Better Off Ted, American Coco, Bachelor Night, and American in Hollywood, Hello Cupid, and the websites he co-directed, and the web series he co-directed, Wedlocked.
Some, and I emphasize some, theatrical credits include The Stonemason, the first national tour of the Pulitzer Prize-winning play Wit, and his Ovation Award-winning performance for lead actor in The Recommendation. As a playwright, he was the winner of the Young Playwright Competition at the Manhattan Class Company for his play Trial by Fury. He recently penned the play Brain Problems, which was mentioned here on the show earlier.
He joins us today, ladies and gentlemen, to tell us about his role as co-founder and co-artistic director of the LA-based Ammunition Theater Company and their current production, The Tragedy, a comedy, in which he also plays the role of Larry. Please give him a warm welcome, Malcolm Barrett.
Thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Your audience, you have a wonderful studio audience.
It's so good.
You just like it because they like you.
They're
man. What if there was silent? Would they still be good?
No.
I got it. This is one of my favorite things about reading up on you. You both did The Office, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
And as I recall, you play in one of my favorite little bits. You played Replacement Stanley.
Yes.
Is that right?
That
where
is correct.
Jenna Fischer, in one of her interviews, has the great line where she goes, "Look, I think Michael's making some really absurd changes here. It's all really strange. I do understand Replacement Stanley," which I think is so funny. It just cracked. And that line stuck with me. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Very funny.
That happened, I think, I don't know, but that happened as a result of, I'm friends with Craig Robinson. And I was actually up for a pilot of his years ago. And I think the creators or writers dug me for that, but didn't pick me for it. And I got a call out of nowhere being like, "Hey, do you want to be in the final episode of The Office?"
That's awesome.
And I was like,
"Yeah, my story is not as good."
Is it not as good as that?
No, I went and auditioned.
Oh, no.
But you got it, which makes
it
an awesome story.
Who
did you play on The Office?
Oh, I was a wonderful reporter. TV reporter.
Awesome.
You're awesome.
I got to say, I love that show. I think it's one of the great American comedies, even though it started off as a British comedy.
Sure.
I think it really did define American comedy.
Malcolm, I have to ask you about when you worked on The Mentalist.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, did you have scenes with the star of that show?
I did.
And what was he like, actually, as a person?
I
was totally fascinated by him as an actor.
He was great. He was enjoyable to be around. It was a fun role. I'd never really played just like straight cop before. The original actress from Back to the Future, the original
Jennifer Grey
girlfriend.
Oh,
not Leah Thompson. No,
not Leah Thompson. Is it, what is it? I'm so annoyed at forgetting her name, but she was on it. You get the.
It's Steve McQueen's son, strangely enough.
Where's that Wikipedia we've been playing today?
Oh, my gosh.
Blasting that Wikipedia.
Oh, my gosh. But I'm so annoyed at myself for forgetting because I'm a huge Back to the Future fan.
And he's crazy at trivia.
And this is going to bother you for a while.
It's going to bother me like for way too long.
Oh, I'm going to hold it against him. He's going
to find mine. As he's looking up live research here on our show.
Dang it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you know what? I'll check IMDb at some point.
And so she was involved in this?
She was on the episode, and I was like so excited. Because it's like freaking Back to the Future, man.
Right.
I grew up on that stuff, which is why I enjoyed doing Timeless. See how I wrapped that?
So she was on the episode with you of The Mentalist.
Of The Mentalist, yeah.
But how was he to work with?
He was great. I barely remember. It was 12 years ago. He was a nice guy. He didn't spit on me. So I got
to
go.
You know, then I'm also a nice guy.
Yeah,
because I have yet to spit on you today.
He's kind of guy. gone, gone into obscurity with his career. I don't see.
I don't know. I feel like he's doing great. He has a show like every couple or whatever. I mean, The Mentalist was on for years, after they'd given him a couple shows. I mean, and I didn't know he was doing an American accent either, because I think he's.
Oh, I did. I knew that.
Yeah, right.
I don't know why.
He's like British.
I didn't check
like that.
That. I knew that.
Wow, very cool. Well, now Tina, I gotta ask you. I hear there's a story about Malcolm and about how you guys met, and I hear, just so I can warn our listeners, I hear it involves private parts, despite your platonic relationship. That's right.
You are not that kind of a show.
We are now, brother. We're going into the gutter today.
You know, okay, so it was in the early 2000s or in college.
Claudia Wells.
He needed to get
sorry.
In. But
now,
I want everyone Malcolm to know he used a tonight. Computer. He used a hand computer. He didn't get that out of the recesses of his mind.
Okay, thank you.
No, we were in school together, and we passed each other. You know, theater school is not at the time very diverse. I was probably one of three Asian people in the whole department.
Even at Tisch.
Oh, yeah.
I was the only black guy in most of my theater classes.
Really?
Yeah. Not in the whole school, but in the classes.
Yeah, my theater class.
I mean, I would expect that in Topeka, but in NYU, I'm not.
Theater, yeah, I mean.
Theater was a little white bread for a while.
It was a little white bread for a while.
I remember they were like, go talk to. One day somebody was like, go talk to Arnold, who was like the other black guy. I was like, I don't know him.
I know.
I wish you
had someone to talk to.
I was like, I don't know.
No, but we'd pass each other in the hall because you always clock when there's another person of color, like in the same field, and you're like, oh, you kind of get how awkward this feels sometimes. So we'd just like, you know, do the chin thing, the chin nod at each other.
Did you go up or did you go down?
I did the up thing. Yeah. Did you go down?
No, I went up.
We definitely both went up. Yeah,
there's a big difference, I hear. Yeah. It's down.
Because down is more like, that feels more male.
We're good. Yeah.
And then one day
I was like, I don't know, this guy's from Brooklyn, he's from New York, he probably will get my humor, whatever. And I definitely stopped. I was like, I'm just going to talk to him. And I was like, hey, you know, I always wanted to be a black man when I grew up. And he said, you're going to say it on the radio? Come on. He said, you want to hold my dick? I was like, no, we're friends, though. We're friends. Is that allowed on the radio? Oh,
it is now, baby. We're in good
shape.
Keep
in mind, we were 19.
We were 19 years old.
Please, hold on. Now, she says that again today. You meet her today. You still say the same thing. Come on. That's a great one.
What's your IQ? And how can we discuss politics and socioeconomic problems? That's what he says now.
No, but it was non-sexual.
I got to say.
It was non-sexual. It was hilarious.
And you can tell that you guys have a rapport. And I got to tell you, that as I hear these stories, there are so many relationships that start with these kind of stories, particularly in college when you're going, man, somebody's got to define their personality, define their sense of humor, and find people they connect with.
Yeah.
What a great thing that comedy, tragedy, came out of this. What a fun thing.
Well, what's funny is we didn't talk right after that for like a long time.
It was a while.
And it wasn't like we were ignoring each other. We just didn't know each other. Yeah. And then so like we just wound up having
class.
And
plus, how do you follow that up? What's the next one?
I think we had no way.
We were both like, that's the perfect story. Let's just leave that.
We're done. You and I are done. We'll talk again when we're 90.
Yeah. But then you know what? I don't remember. I think we wound up being in groups or something together. I'll tell you this. I remember seeing her work. I saw her as an actress. And then I had seen her direct John Patrick Shanley's A Dreamer Examines His Pillow.
A great piece.
And it was amazing. I mean, talk about sort of magical realism. It had a lot of that, these bubbles, all these things. And I saw that, and I was like, she's a genius. I want to hang out with her. And I saw her act, and I was like, she can act, too. Great.
He doesn't make friends with anyone he doesn't respect.
I don't make friends with... If you're not really good at whatever you do, I can't be friends with you. I can't talk to you.
I had the same thing for Malcolm. He's just so hyperverbal. And it's so talented. And I saw his work and all the things he directed,
Chickens Came Home to Roost.
And then Fallen Patriots,
Patriots.
Yeah, and so all these shows that he did that I was just like really impressed by. And I saw him at Du Poetry, at the New York DuPoets. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Not that I was stalking you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'd follow me.
And I remember I saw through your window one night.
I'd follow me. Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I also can't be friends with someone unless I really respect their work and their mind and their talent. So.
Holy cow.
Mm-hmm. It's a good friendship.
Yeah, that's working out.
Again, the name of the show is The Tragedy. It's playing at Pico, and this is The Pico, that's right. And this is, again, it's only running once a month, so check out the next installment coming up here all the way through August 9th. So we said the next one is July what?
19th.
July 19th is the next chance to see this, and that's obviously coming up here in just less than a month.
And then August 9th.
And then August 9th. Yeah. Two more chances. Great.
You guys. So I wonder, you know, now I'm nervous of what they're, you know, when they leave the studio.
We've hit our low watermark. We're in good to go.
Will we be friends? Will they talk to us?
Do they respect our work?
Holy God.
It's going to be, we may not have made friends today.
So much stress now.
We still got 3 minutes left. We can save this thing.
Yes, well, we're going to save it because we have come to the end of the show.
End of the show with these two. I better get my sensor button ready.
And now, embarrassing moments.
And if you haven't checked out Instagram, they just danced for you. That's right.
They
danced to Ed Hall's voice.
In their seats.
That's right.
And I'm impressed by that.
No doubt about it. Embarrassing moments. Man. Tina, you got one for us?
Oh, man. Can he go first?
Nope. Nope.
Oh. There's a couple.
Do you like the way I just made a rule?
Yeah.
Like, it's not a rule, but she asked, and I just said no, because I wanted some power in the show. Somewhere, I need some power.
It's our show,
Dad. I was like, no. And she was like, okay, well, Andrew said no. She could totally be like, nope, Malcolm's going first. But you see, finally, in this seat, it looks like you have power.
You've become a man today, my son.
Finally, somebody did something I asked. This is such a wonderful day. Tina, did I stall enough time for you?
I think so. it's kind of a sad story, but it's always good to end on a sad note. You know how I roll.
It's probably best you go first.
Please. What I'm doing is I'm being a straight man so that I can set up the joke for him.
Nicely
so your story better be amazing.
Nicely done.
But no, I was taking care of my mom at one point and she was having some trouble going to the bathroom. See, I already went to the potty humor.
I like it.
And I was already so tired when I was taking care, you know, when you're caregiving for someone, it's very exhausting. And
of course.
I had to go to the pharmacy to get like maybe the last attempt of what could help her go to the bathroom, and I bought the entire shelf of stuff.
And you walked up to the register.
And I had no car. I walked up to the register. They gave me the dirtiest look. I also hadn't showered. I looked like a nightmare. This was a mess. And I went outside and was walking down Wilshire with like three giant bags of every single laxative you can imagine.
Right.
Just walking down the street, and then I just burst into tears. And the cars are honking as they're driving. Like, I don't know what they're saying. Yay, cry face? Or they're
I need some laxative in the store I went to was out.
Exactly. So. I just was crying so hard. And then as soon as they started honking, then I started burst out laughing. Like, just the hilarity, the tragedy and comedy of life is just always
you
paired so perfectly.
That's something that I think is crucial that's been driven home to me this year quite a few times is you never know the pain someone else is in.
That's true.
So when you see somebody embarrassed or when you see somebody in some way, you got to think, man, what must their life be like? So a poignant story, but also, boy, it's so good that the human spirit has the ability to laugh through our pain, right?
I hope your mother was relieved.
I'd had my cursor on the rim shot button for that entire story, and as soon as you said my mother was hurting, I immediately took it off. Let's not hit this. Michael, let me use
it. But I turned it around. I got the rim shot. Well,
you did great. Malcolm, and first of all, you better get yourself ready because I'm going to ask you to slam us out of this, okay?
Oh,
so at the end of the show, so I hope you're good to go. What's your embarrassing story? And if it's more embarrassing than the first line you gave her when you met her, we're going to really get some points on the show. Yeah, so
I really wish I'm pretty sure I block out all embarrassing things. The most embarrassing thing that I remember was when I was a kid. Believe it or not, I was a real goody-goody kid. And I think it was like...
He's lying. Don't you think he's lying?
He was a math nerd.
Wow.
He went to the science high school and I went to the arts high school.
Nice.
Which is crazy in New York.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Defying all stereotypes. I think I'm in kindergarten and the thing like... You had to raise your hand to go to the bathroom. You couldn't just leave the classroom.
My wife still makes me do that.
Oh, well, she's he's peeing right now. I don't
That's
know if
right. It's the only freedom I get.
Yeah.
I'm out of the house.
And the teacher had left the room, and I had to pee.
Oh, no.
But I couldn't leave because she wasn't there, so I just peed on myself. And it was embarrassing.
Do I need to check the chair right now, reliving
the
story?
Oh, no.
Since qualified. You're good to go.
Yeah, no, I peed on the couch outside in the lobby. So that's good. Since then, I've only been able to pee on furniture.
Maybe we were destined to meet because I had the exact same
really?
Thing happen to me. Exact same thing.
You peed on him in math class,
yes,
too?
Yes, that's exactly.
This show has risen to an all-time low, hasn't it?
Ladies and gentlemen, I got to say.
Risen to an all-time low.
There's no doubt.
We're doing our job.
With the spirit these two have, the tragedy, a comedy has got to be hilarious. If you put even half of what you put into your normal lives into the show, I'm sure it's hilarious because you guys are a joy to be with.
You
Lots
certainly
of
are,
fun.
Guys.
Thank you.
Thank
really,
you.
Really, really, really. And
we
folks,
really
you have, absolutely. You have an opportunity to see them, as we've been telling you, in The Tragedy, a comedy coming up on July 19th and then again on August 9th at the Pico, which is the Pico Playhouse, formerly known as the Pico Playhouse. Lovely theater. And $25 tickets, cannot beat it. Check it out at their company
website.
Yes, and it is the AmUnit. You want to give that website?
www.amotheater.com. That's www.amotheatre.com.
Can I say the director's name? We
Please
forgot
do.
To say
Please.
That.
Yes.
Directed by Ahmed Best.
And yes. Where can people find out more about you?
TinaWong.com or Tina Huang at Twitter. And,
Malcolm, any place you want to plug here where people can go look you up?
At Malcolm Barrett. There's my band with Brandon, the Sin City LP. We're probably going to be changing our name to Verbal and Icarus, which are our pseudonyms.
Nice.
And Verbal will be rapping on Instagram.
Well,
Everywhere.
Cool. Again, the name of the show is The Tragedy. If you Google that up with The Pico, that's the theater it's at, The Pico, you'll certainly get some laughs. I can almost guarantee it. And, of course, I haven't read the script, but I can just tell this is going to be a real laugh riot. So, Malcolm, can I trouble you to, and if you were to work in.
Ask her.
You
yes.
think?
No.
If you can work in the words state of the arts, which is the easiest rhyme ever, right?
Okay.
Because I can't give you something easy, right?
Don't talk
okay.
about farts. It rhymes.
Do what you got to do. We've already hit our bar for the
All
day.
Right, great.
So.
Okay. So you're gonna do the
Here
beat?
We go. I'm not going to do the beat.
Ladies yeah, and just... gentlemen, this is Malcolm Barrett.
You ready?
What?
Yeah, beat. A little slow down. Now here we are and we having some fun. It's me and Tina Wong and we getting it done. You don't know how we do, but we wearing camo. But you can still see us, our theater company's ammo. And you know we do it best. We had to start with the place, but we never rap about farts. But I guess we had to do it. I tried to throw it the way that we do it. It's the state of the art.
Oh Lord, we just did that on the radio.
Oh, my goodness.
I think we have finally found our perfect show. We got to quit after this. We're crazy.
The executives at Princess Cruises in Santa Clarita are listening to this show today.
And I'll bet you they're loving it. Those are fun people over there. We've met a few of them. So, hey, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for listening. My name is Andrew David James.
And I'm Michael Sterling. And we will see you next week where?
On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.